Welcome to Security Architecture Podcast, where we help cybersecurity professionals to stay ahead of the curve and ensure they are successful in their cybersecurity journey.
Hi, I'm Evgeny.
Hi, I'm Dmitry.
We have Anton here. Anton, can you please introduce yourself?
Hello there. My name is Anton Chuvakin, and some of you know me from my work at Gartner, where I spent about 8 years covering security operations. Today, I deal with some of the security product strategy at Google Cloud, where I arrived by acquisition of a Chronicle, the vendor that is building the security analytics platform for the future.
Thank you. Anton, the topic of today's podcast is SASE. So we know that SASE was introduced by Gartner last year. Can you tell us a bit of the history from what you know and who came up with the acronym and the idea?
Yes. Actually, I probably cannot share everything about the kitchen, about how it was made, but I was definitely there observing that particular sausage being made. SASE concept came from the research around how cloud changes IT, how cloud computing changes network access, security, and a few other areas, and how cloud changes networking and network security in particular. Personally, I consider Neil MacDonald to be the author of the concept, and now I'm sure there will be other analysts who contributed to this, but to me, I always thought of SASE as Neil's baby. The reasons why it was born, is was at least the way I hypothesize about those reasons, is that Gartner observed how the approaches to network security, access to applications have evolved over the years, and how some of the specific security solutions, like say CASB or Secure Web Gateway, or even zero trust network access have evolved. And in parallel, how firewall management and firewall UTM management have been adopted or evolved for the cloud era. So at some point, my impression is that there was an idea that these things would be on a collision course to form one particular bundle of technologies. And again, bundle is maybe too weak, but kind of a cluster of technologies that deal with providing and securing access to application offices, to work environments. So that's why there's a little bit of a fuzzy concept, because it was combined from multiple things on a collision course with each other.
So Anton, is SASE is a next generation UTM as a service with a network component?
No, I don't think SASE is UTM at all. I think the reason I brought up UTM is that UTM itself was born out of combination of technologies. We had firewall, we had VPN, we had IPS. So when this was combined on some appliances and more people started demanding a single box, firewall, VPN, IDS, web filtering, the concept of UTM was born. So the birth of UTM, I find it to be a bit of a metaphor for how SASE was born. I mean, SASE combines things like Secure Web Gateway, essentially web proxy, CASB for securing SaaS, Zero Trust Network Access, which is a replacement for VPN and a few other types of solutions, and of course, also remote firewall management and a couple of other technologies.
There is also the network component.
That's correct. SD-WAN, I always forget about this. You're right. That's a good call out. As well as not just securing network access, but providing network access.
In my mind, I think one of the main capabilities of SASE is actually as a service. It's mean it have to be cloudy. It have to be scalable. It have to be easy to consume by users.
That is correct. And I think that part, at least my impression of how it was born, implies that cloud played a big role in SASE concept being born. For example, when Gartner started seeing more firewall appliances, traditional firewalls, being managed from the cloud, people started thinking about the concept of firewalling as a service, a bit of a nasty acronym, FWAAS. FWAAS, I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. So a lot of other technologies like CASB are cloud managed by design. Secure Web Gateway, sure, you can have it as a box. But you're correct. I think SASE carries the kind of a cloud DNA or a cloud gene in its origin story. You are correct. I don't think there's any appliance SASE, and I think Gartner people really hate you, hate the vendor who would claim that they have an appliance SASE.
Interesting concept. So we have Secure Web Gateway, we have Firewall as a Service, we have CASB, we have Zero Trust, we have Network Component. There's a lot of different components here. Is any of them, in your mind, are more important, less important?
Well, actually, the list we went through is kind of about one third of what Gartner's SASE vision truly includes. So this is the question the question you're asking is the question I like to ask as well. What are the defining what are the critical or defining components of SASE? So for example, if I'm looking at some SASE materials published by my former colleagues, they mention things like DNS filtering or network sandboxing or even traditional VPN or even Wi-Fi protection as being possibly included in SASE. But to me, when I think about the concept, there are some, anchor tenants or critical pieces or cornerstones. And to me, these are Secure Web Gateway, that's for the outbound browsing, CASB, that's for protecting your users and protecting SaaS applications, the accounts and SaaS applications, and also Zero Trust Access. So these three, and perhaps SD-WAN as well. So I would say these are kind of the corner tenants of SASE house. Maybe firewall in the service would be that as well. Now, admittedly, if you look at the vendors, and we plan to do that later on, not every vendor would even do these. But if I think of SASE, I do think of Secure Web Gateway, CASB, ZTNA, Cloudy Firewall, and perhaps SD-WAN as kind of cornerstones.
Yeah, what you're basically saying, if I understand correctly, it's my opinion, it's going to be very hard to see one vendor do everything under SASE.
Even from the core list, you are exactly correct. Even from the core features list, I don't think there would be a vendor who does all of this equally well. Like even do this at all, frankly, because I don't want to name names, frankly, because some of them are partners, some of them are competitors. But the point is that you may see a CASB vendor who is trying to break into Secure Web Gateways, and you see Secure Web Gateway vendor trying to break into CASB. And you also see Firewall vendor trying to break into Secure Web Gateways and CASB.
Yeah, and it's exactly, so we plan to record vendors later on from different targets. And you are actually very, very precise here. We have vendors that are moving from firewall towards there. We have vendors that are moving from CASB and from Security Web Gateway.
Yes, correct. And there are some vendors who trying to build the, I guess, SASE platform from day one. But of course, they have their work cut out for them because they have a lot of stuff to build.
Yes.
Yeah, how about the SD-WAN vendors?
You know, I would admit to a bit of a bias because I just don't know that area that well. So there are some vendors who started as providing access, and then it became secure access, and then it became maybe expanded to a more of a SASE vision. But I haven't really looked at the vendors who started from the networking side and then became security providers. That may be my bias, that may be Gartner bias, because ultimately SASE was born out of analysts thinking about network security and actually networking as well. So not sure I have much to say on that.
Long time ago, around 15 years ago, we used all to have small VPN boxes at our home. Mm-hmm. And this was our way to connect to the office. I remember I had like checkpoint devices, small Cisco devices. Mm-hmm. What may happen, because we all work from home lately and the remote force become more and more strong, we may have a small SD-WAN boxes that are going to be at our home. I don't know.
Yeah, but what's the point of it? You already have your cable modem or some other type of fiber box. So I'd be really surprised if you're going to go back to the hardware past. I frankly, I don't think that future is coming. I don't think there would be a box. Software... I think if I'm not sure whether people got the memo, but software is eating the world, not hardware.
What about, and I'm just bringing ideas, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe I need a VoIP, maybe I have printer control, maybe I want a faster connection. Yes, there is the ZTNA part or SDP part that's supposed to fix this problem. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Yes. Dmitry, what do you think will be the main target of customers that would like to adopt SASE?
I believe that many customers can benefit of SASE features and functionalities, starting from enterprise customers all the way to the mid-market. And I also believe that at the end of the things, we'll find consumer products that will be including SASE-like solution. Anton, what is your take on it?
Honestly, I don't know. I haven't looked at the data. I haven't looked at adoption data. But I would say that given the components of SASE, some of them are for everybody. Like say, CASB and Secure Web Gateways are ultimately for every business. Like if you have connection to the internet, which is basically everybody, you would need some form of filtering for traffic against malicious content. And you'd need some kind of a security to control access to SaaS applications, provided you're not, provided you use them, and usually most businesses do. Other components are more debatable, like where the adoption would come. And I think some of them are aligned with this type of a mid-market SMB. Like firewalling as a service, I don't have the data anymore, of course, but what I recall from the past is that it was more mid-market. Because admittedly, large enterprises who are used to managing firewall boxes would often just continue doing that.
So firewall.
Some of the components are mid-market, yeah.
Firewall in data center will not go away for a very, very long time. I don't think so.
But the data centers may.
Yeah. What's interesting is that, there would be OEM offerings from ISPs that we'll be seeing actually selling SASE solutions.
You mean when you home and you already browse to the internet, your ISP will just give you protection?
That's probably something that will happen in the future, right? I think that...
Yeah, but it makes no sense because they don't have the business interest in mind. They have the consumer market. So I don't think there's a SASE
policy.
Consumers thing. Yeah, that sounds kind of weird.
Let's switch gears a bit. And let's think that my company want to move to SASE. They want to adopt SASE product. What do they need to pay attention on? What my company would need to pay attention or any other companies need to pay attention? Data retention, compliance, vendor availability. Let's bring this idea and talk about it a bit. And
okay.
Anton, what do you have in mind?
To start. So to be really honest, today, I don't think anybody, people who are adopting SASE, at least in my experience, don't seek to adopt SASE. They seek to adopt a particular cornerstone of SASE. Like, for example, I need to have my web gateway to be in the cloud. Like, I want to use the, well-known cloud web gateway vendor to protect my users. And if that vendor builds or describes and builds a SASE vision, I may buy into this vision. But I don't think I'm buying SASE today. Even if I'm buying zero trust access, if I have to throw away my VPNs or reduce my VPN usage for many benefits of zero trust access, ultimately I'm buying ZTNA. And if I want my ZTNA vendor to be my CASB vendor and my web gateway vendor, ultimately I'm buying into the SASE vision, but I'm not really like paying for SASE. I don't think that SASE was born in 2019. It's really new. So I don't think there's any purchasing of SASE, but people de facto purchase SASE when they purchase a web gateway combined with CASB that can also do ZTNA. Like ultimately, I'm buying SASE without buying SASE.
Interesting.
That's my impression, at least.
Do you think they need to think about the architecture part, housing the traffic you will get from the office or from home? What the other architecture aspects that are important, because our podcast is architecture centric and we want to focus more on the architecture part.
Okay. So I would say that it depends upon what is your kind of a centerpiece of SASE. Like if I'm buying a web gateway, ultimately I would need to force people who browse, my employees who browse the web to go through that gateway. And of course there are many ways to do it. So there's much less architecting involved because the browser would go straight to the cloud and then the filtered web would be passing through that gateway. So it's a lot less architecting involved. But if you're doing zero trust network access, then you have a lot of exciting architecture decisions, because ultimately you're enabling access straight into the possibly internal application from somewhere on the internet without a VPN. And that's a scary thing for a lot of companies. So I would say that from the SASE components, some have very little architectural implications like secure web gateways. Some have a fair bit like CASB, and some have a lot like ZTNA.
I'll in a way disagree a bit on the web gateway part. Because if I need to route traffic from the offices, it means I need to have redundant tunnels. I'm not always going to do forward proxy, high availability. I may need to work with SD-WAN providers and make sure I'm able to connect to them and have a high availability of tunnels. If I do it from my device, I want to make sure that my device can connect to the closest POP of the SASE provider. Right. And also, depend on the customer. As I mentioned, there's a firewall vendors, CASB vendors, web gateway vendors. I may route all the ports. I may route only the HTTP and HTTPS ports. So it really depends on the provider and how it's going to route the traffic.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Maybe I spoke too soon. It kind of depends. But some of the stuff you probably want the vendor to handle, right? I don't want to think about POPs. Frankly, that's why I'm going to hand off big bucks to the SASE / firewall / secure gateway provider, and I want them to solve it for me, because ultimately I want to use cloud so that I wouldn't have to do 100%. That much architecting.
You don't re-architect. You ask the vendor what's the best way for me to adapt their architecture, I guess.
Correct. But for ZTNA, you do need to architect, and there's no real, I mean, people of course often use Google as a quintessential example of a zero trust based business. And we're all happy to say that it works really well, everything is smooth, and everything is just brilliantly secure and convenient. And then we drop the bomb on people by saying, yeah, it took about 7 years to build that with our team. And people are like, oh, we want that too. And we're like, hey.
Not so fast.
You need to wait for people to build products that enable this. You don't want to go the DIY route that we went through, because we built it, but it took a bit of work.
Towards your point about ZTNA and outbound browsing, for example. So we decided to split our podcast. We will talk to vendors about outbound browsing. And then we're going to do a different kind of season when we talk about ZTNA, the zero trust access and remote access. And mainly because there's a lot of architecture components there. And we just understood it's be very, very hard to put everything under one episode.
Excellent. But let me ask you this question that we can discuss together. Like the architecture decisions you're making for Secure Web Gateway, as we just briefly discussed, and the decisions that are made for CASB, so that SaaS application access is filtered, these do seem to be like friends, because ultimately I'm on my PC, I'm going to google.com, because obviously, to search for something, but then I go to, say, Salesforce. So in the very first act of going to Google, I browse, and even though you don't need protection from Google, you may need protection from some of the sites that you may encounter. Now, if I go to Salesforce, I also need protection, but from a somewhat different problem, right? So there's similarities in browsing to a website and it's browsing to a web app, right? But these are two things, the Secure Web Gateway and CASB. So they feel like this is kind of a happy marriage of these two needs to happen.
Yes. Right. I guess the only difference I see is the reverse proxy that the CASB may need to have for certain sites where I don't have inline protection or there is no API protection.
Correct. That's a bit of a messy thing, which you have no equivalent for browsing the web. I mean, if you browse the web, you browse the web. There's no real need to.
Kind of bringing a very, very good point, because this, whereas the IAM, my user ID, become very important to know who I am and apply the policy. And I don't believe we spoke about how important this identity in SASE. Do you have an opinion? there?
Yes, I do, but I feel like a lot of the identity importance or maybe criticality still points at the ZTNA side of SASE and a bit less to the browsing side. Well, it does apply. I mean, if you're doing policy rules by user group, you of course want to know who's browsing because as my colleague, my former colleague mentioned, certain companies block access to social media. But of course, if your company does marketing, including marketing on social media, you want to have access to social media and because that's where your business. So the generic decision to block social media would be kind of dumb because that's actually your work site. So Facebook may be your work site.
Could be.
In light of that, could you be. Do need identity for that. But beyond that, I'm not sure. I think maybe I'm veering a little bit outside of my expertise maybe.
Interesting. We mentioned that SaaS is supposed to be, in our definition, a cloud-based company. Mm-hmm. So I want to bring in conversation. Is it important with the vendor has their private data centers or they use public data centers? Is there actually a big difference? And I'm not really sure myself yet.
You know, I'm going to answer it from my recent experience in a somewhat different area which I deal with here at work. A lot of this may boil down to trust, not really the performance. So for example, if I'm using a CASB component of SASE, and I want to go to a particular application, do I want a SASE hosted at the same cloud where that application is hosted? Performance-wise, maybe you do, but what if I don't trust this application? And then should I really trust my CASB? Like, to me, becomes a very emotional decision. Like, do I trust SASE that's hosted in the cloud, which I don't trust? Like, that's probably bad. I deal a lot with this here at work when there's a question of encrypting data, trusting the CSP. And to refer to my other experience, I've worked for a software service-based security vendor some number of years ago. And that vendor actually hosted in data centers, not in the cloud. I mean, that may have historical reasons because they predated cloud, but you also may have a trust issue. Like I may not trust somebody, I may not trust Amazon. I don't know. I'm weird.
Yeah.
So in this case, let's pick a more realistic example. Some retailers don't trust Amazon, right? I mean, everybody yes. knows this. And so will they buy a tool that's back-ended to Amazon? Like, I don't see any reason why they should not, but I know some of the leaders would be like, whoa, wait a second. Ultimately, we are using Amazon and we are told not to use Amazon. So
it brings up
a lot of tricky issues. Yeah. But at the same time, the good counter argument to this is, can you really build something as resilient as what Google, Amazon, and Azure has built? Can you really, can a startup build a CASB Secure Web Gateway backend from scratch without using any of the modern cloud technologies or using them in a data center? That's also tricky. So frankly, I don't know. Yeah. I'm with you.
We're going to ask the question and we will see what the vendor will respond and we'll go from there.
Do ask them. I mean, they may not answer what they backend to, what cloud they backend to, because they may be like contract decisions, but they may answer whether they backend to a public cloud provider. And of course, there are only three, right? Mm-hmm. Or they backend to their own data centers. That they may answer this.
We'll finish recording and we'll let you know about this.
Perfect.
If we assume that SASE combines so many different controls, mm-hmm. I'm guessing in this case, I can do analytics inside the SASE dashboard. Again, we're talking about if it actually exists, all the tools.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So do I need a security analytics tool? Do I still need my SIM or I can just leave there?
So, you know, this question came to me when I was arguing with my former colleague at Gartner about whether CASB can become a SIM. And of course, SASE is bigger than CASB, but let me touch it for CASB. So he brought up a scenario like this. Imagine I'm a new company, like maybe I'm a 2-5-year-old company and I'm all cloud native. So I don't have a data center. I don't have on-premise IT. I don't have on-premise security. Everything I use is SaaS applications. So why can't CASB essentially be my SIM? Like, can I combine every single employee access to every single resource inside CASB? Because ultimately, CASB is my gateway to business applications. And I wanted to argue with him. And I wanted to argue with him a lot, but I couldn't. He was right. If there is the business which is so cloud native that there's nothing else but SaaS access, and everything you do for business is a bunch of laptops and a bunch of SaaS apps, and there's nothing else. Then I don't think you need a SIM. CASB is kind of a SIM. So
if I think we're not like there, that, but you say we may in a long, long future.
Right. But so if you are in that type of a setup, then you don't need a SIM, and CASB is ultimately your CASB analytical backend is kind of your de facto SIM. SASE, as we just discussed, is bigger than CASB. So it is possible that a lot of telemetry will be collected in the SASE backend, the secure web gateway side, CASB side, zero trust access side. However, will you have the rest of IT? Will you have things like monitoring the client PCs? Will you have EDR? SASE has nothing to do with endpoints. So what if you have agents? EDR may still exist, and EDR may still go send data somewhere. Maybe SIM, maybe it's on backend. And there would be other servers, there may be data centers, there would be other controls, there may be firewalls on-prem. And that starts to look like SASE itself may not be the whole world, but admittedly, there would be people for whom it's the whole world. And those people do not need a SIM or security analytics. SASE vendor better ramp up the game in this, because they will have clients that cannot rely on a SIM for analytics. They have to rely on SASE.
Metrics. Let's touch base and talk about how do I show my new solution to my upper management or to my board and explain to them how it works and operate really well, what kind of metrics I can show to them to explain why they spend all much money and the benefits of the solution.
I still feel like I would go back to constituent pieces of SASE. I would say there are known arguments for why buy Secure Web Gateway, why filter web access, why buy CASB. CASB is the CASB was the fastest growing security market in the history of security markets, tracked by Gartner. I don't know whether it's true, but I've heard that. The point is that there are known value statements for the components, and there are reasonable value statements for ZTNA, getting rid of VPN, all that stuff. So if I'm justifying SASE, I would go both tactical and strategic. My tactical argument would rely on the key component I'm adopting first, like say, Secure Web Gateway combined with CASB. I am buying the bundle of Web Gateway and CASB. I'm not buying separate tools. I'm buying both. And I'm signing up for SASE Vision as a future, kind of like a future approach to my network security. I don't think there's any SASE ROI because SASE is so vague, but there's absolutely value statements for individual components. And there is value in adopting the modern network security vision. So that's how I would go about that. Maybe I'd fail as a CISO getting budget. There's no compliance that makes you buy SASE, of course, obviously.
We plan to ask vendors about reports and what do they think they need to show the board. And we'll see they think and what they see on the market.
Perhaps even how they justify purchases. I think that's a useful question to ask.
It is a good one. I think we are had a good time talking about SASE, and we're definitely looking forward to record vendors and ask them the questions and see the results. Anton, thank you very much. Any questions to us?
No, thank you very much for inviting me. Looking forward to hearing more of this.
Awesome.
Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and join us for our next episode, where we will be introducing the topic and diving deeper into the right questions to ask our vendors.